I want you to get your Bible and turn to Psalm 51. If you have a cell phone on, we'd request that you turn it off, or if you may, you may put it on vibrate as long as it's not loud. And then let's not walk in and out of the service lest it be an emergency, and that way we can all hear and our attention is not divided. Psalm chapter number 51. Find, if you will, verse number 3, Psalm 51:3. If you would, please, as is our custom, would you stand out of respect for the Word of God? I'm going to start reading in verse number 3. We're going to read through verse number 12. And so stick with me on this, and we'll get to the sermon quickly. Psalm 51, starting with verse number 3, it says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll bless us now. Holy Spirit of God, might we be instructed and warned, and for some, may sin's effects be revealed for what they truly are in our lives. Now, God, give me the attention of the people as I give you mine. Lord, you know the sermon. It's quite simple. It's quite to the point. But God, we need simplicity for our weak minds so that we might just be reminded when we do wrong, when we sin, there are consequences, and it affects us. And help us, Father, today that we might be careful not to do wrong. And if we have, help us to see the results that have come into our lives, see it realistically, and then move away from that wrong, repent from it, so that we don't have to continue to face the difficulties that sin brings to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Let me start by taking you to the end of a story. Here in Psalm chapter 51, you see there's something brought on this psalm. It's a psalm where David is speaking, and something brought it on. Something brought the need of it on. I'm going to take you to the end of the story, tell you a little bit about the end of the story, then I'm going to take you back to the beginning of the story, and then put those two things together. At the end of the story, you have a king by the name of David, and at that time, David was just a backslidden man. He was in his palace, and there was a knock on his door, if you will. The preacher at that time, his name was Nathan. And Nathan says to David, he said, I need to tell you about a man in your kingdom who has done wrong. And David was listening as Nathan was telling him a story. I won't go into the story, but after the preacher explained to David about a man in David's kingdom that had done wrong, David was irate. David was angry. And David said, that man was wrong, and that man should be corrected, and that man should be disciplined. And the preacher said, you're right, David. And David, thou art the man. Nathan had not given the name of the man that had done wrong. He just explained how bad what that man had done was. And David said, that's bad. That's really bad. And then the preacher, you know how preachers, they get tricky sometimes. And old Nathan the preacher said, you're the one that I'm talking about, David. Well, when you get to Psalm chapter number 51, you find out that it is a psalm, and it is David trying to get himself straightened out after the preacher said, it's you, buddy. You're the one. Let me tell you the story that got David into a bit of this mess. David's men were out in battle, and David came home, and while he was at home, He sees his neighbor's wife sunbathing on her housetop. She was unclothed, which was a very unwise situation to have herself in. But David went to the housetop. He's seen her out there, and he lusts her. And he decides to call her unto himself. Now, it's another man's wife, but he calls her unto himself. He commits adultery with her. She gets pregnant. To cover this up now, he calls her husband, who happened to be one of his men who was out in battle. She's pregnant, and he says, well, I'm going to call your husband home. And the goal was that her husband would come home, and David would send the husband home to sleep with his wife, the one that David now has made pregnant. And then they could blame the pregnancy on her husband. The problem was, when her husband got home, he said, I can't go and enjoy the pleasures of my wife when the men are out to battle, which he just happened to be more of a leader at that time in life than David was. He said, I'm not going to go home and enjoy myself with my wife. My comrades are off at battle. I'd feel badly doing that. And so now David has to figure out another way to cover up this sin that he's committed. And so David talks to Joab, one of his commanders, and says, hey, Joab, when that man's put back in battle, I want you to set that man up so he will be killed. So this woman's husband is then placed in battle. The captain withdraws all the men except for that one man, and the enemy kills him. So in essence, David had one of his own men killed to cover up David's sin with that woman. David ends up marrying that woman. Her name is Bathsheba. David's life is now snowballing out of control. He's messed himself up. Well, now we go back to the end of the story. We finally arrived there. The preacher says, I'm going by to talk to David about what he did. David comes to the door, and the preacher says, there's this guy in your kingdom, and he's misbehaving, and he uses a comparison story. Now, if Nathan would have came right out and told the exact story, David would have known who it was right away. But he compares it to something else having to do with some sheep and things. And remember, when Nathan's done telling the story, David's mad. And David said, that's wrong, that low-down, cowardly scum of the earth. Something ought to be done about that. And Nathan said, I'm glad you said so. Because it's you, sir. Well, one great thing about it is, it got David's attention. I'll tell you all something. When somebody preaches about your sin, one of two things will happen. Either it'll get your attention and you'll start heading toward God, or you get mad about it. You'll get mad about it. You won't like it. And that's usually when you attack the messenger. You say, who's that? Well, in this case, it's me. So be kind to me. But that's what happened. David, boy, the old preacher took a long old bony finger and said, thou art the man. And so, when you get to Psalm chapter 51, and we read a few verses of it a moment ago, it's actually David coming to his senses after he created a royal mess. He's coming to his senses, and he's bringing himself, with God's help, back in to God's will. And Psalm 51 very clearly shows us how David's sin had affected David. This psalm teaches us what sin does to us. The sermon this morning, really, I'm not here to preach on adultery or fornication. I do, and I'm not afraid to, and I will again. But today, I just want to talk to you about what in the world sin does to you and I. And it's laid out pretty clearly. It's kind of a verse-by-verse explanation. As you hear David and this psalm being presented, you're figuring out what happened to David when David got himself into this mess of a sinful condition. Now, let's face it. He took another man's wife. He's lying to everybody in his kingdom. He got that man. He has that man killed. My God, what a mess. And this is the very same David that years ago had slain a Goliath that played his harp to calm a king, and the power of God was on him. Now he's backslidden. He's killing people. He's maneuvering people. He's lying to people. He's committing adultery. And I think David, the preacher, says enough to get his attention, and thou art the man. And then finally, David says, oh my, and he shake myself. What have I been doing? What am I doing? I know better. And there's some of you. There's somebody in here. You probably ought to shake yourself and say, I know better. Why am I acting the way I'm acting? But I'll show you what it did to David. I'll show you how it affected him. First of all, let me tell you this. Our sin makes us guilty of breaking God's law. Psalm 51:1, this is what David said. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Notice he said, my transgressions. David's making it very clear. He went to God and he said, God, I was wrong. I have transgressed. So folks, you got to realize something. When you and I sin, you may hurt me and I may hurt you, but you better get to the bottom line. You sinned against a holy God. And I don't care how all the other preachers in America want to soft soap and try to soften sin. Sin's still sin. Right still right. Wrong still wrong. And if you're doing wrong, you say, well, in our society, well, fooey on our society. Get back to the Bible. It doesn't matter what our society thinks. It matters what God thinks. And God said, you're to be holy. And if we sin, we have transgressed against God. David has blatantly broken God's law. You know, folks, I wish we loved God's word enough that when we disobey it, we're brokenhearted over our disobedience. But you know what I find? We're usually brokenhearted when we have to reap what we have sown, but we're not brokenhearted about having sown. What it is, we'll do wrong, and until it begins to cost us something, it doesn't matter to us. What really needs to happen is when we do wrong, we ought to have broken hearts that we did wrong. But let me say, again, the sermon, it's entitled, What Sin Does to Us. First of all, sin made David guilty of transgressing God's law. Number two, sin made David feel dirty. Made him feel dirty. Listen to what he says in Psalm 51:2. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. David felt dirty. He said, wash me. He said, cleanse me. Matter of fact, he went as far as to say thoroughly. You know why he said thoroughly? He said, I'm a nasty, stinky mess. Is there somebody under the sound of my voice today? Your life is now a nasty, stinky mess. He said it in Psalm 51 again. He said in verse 7, purge me. In that same verse, he said, so I be clean. Wash me, he said again. In Psalm 51:10, he says, I need a clean heart. What happened? Sin makes a Christian feel dirty. So, you know, I don't know your private lives. In no way, I don't see anything that you do privately. But God sees your private life. Somebody can preach a sermon of this caliber. And if you're wrong at something, you ought to feel bad about it. You're supposed to feel conviction about it. When we do wrong, we're to feel dirty about doing wrong. And that's what happened to David. Sin soils us, and it gives us a spiritual stench. Sin makes us dirty. And David was saying, I need to be taken to the car wash and cleaned up. Our young people hosted a couple of different car washes a few weeks ago, raising money for an activity they're going to have. I pulled my car into one of them and they washed my car. I didn't want them to know it. But I then took my car to the other side of the street, to the other side of town, and had them, the other crew, wash my car. Because I wanted to help both times. I wanted to go support the kids both times. Let me tell you all something. All of us need to pull in to God's car wash. We need to get sprayed down. Then you probably need to pull up the street and find another car wash and get sprayed down again. Yes, sir. Because compared to God, we're dirty. But David, you understand that mess that David had himself in? Appalling. First thing David said, he said, look, I've done wrong. And he knew it. Then he said, I feel dirty.
I need to clean off. I feel like I just need washed. I've got myself in a mess. And there's some of you, you used to be far cleaner than what you are now. And I don't know why you're justifying your misbehavior. Somebody in here, you just need to get cleaned up. Just need to get cleaned up. Thirdly, I noticed that according to Psalm 51, David's sin had scarred his memories, his memory, if you will. Listen to this verse. Psalm 51:3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Let me testify. In my life, I've done a few really stupid things, especially when I was a young person. When I was a young person before salvation, right after I got saved, I was still doing some pretty stupid stuff. Some days, those memories come back to me, and I am so ashamed that I would have ever behaved like that." I think David was saying, I've tried to get this out of my brain. I've tried to eliminate this from my thinking, but he said, my sin is ever before me. Now, hey, let me throw something out there to some of you young people. We try to rear you to be pure and holy and godly and virgin and to live right. Let me give you a little recommendation. Keep your heart and mind clear. Because if you tuck some trash into your brain and some stupid things that you do, you may have a hard time shaking it. You say, well, that's what I want. I want to live it up. There may come a day when you don't want to live like that anymore. And you realize that was the wrong way to live. And you wish you would have never had those memories. But David, he said, I'm having a hard time. I did this stuff and I'm having a hard time getting it out of my mind. Sin has a way of branding itself into our memories. I mean, let me warn everybody. If you get a tattoo, you're taking that to your grave with you. Lest you come by my office and we take my knife and we cut it off all the way down to the bone. But other than that, you're taking that baby to the grave with you. But let me tell you something. Sin is like a tattoo to the spiritual memory. Man, I know people that got a tattoo when they were young and now they're older. They're thinking, I wish I wouldn't have got that on there. I don't know what I was thinking. When I probably wasn't thinking. I was probably three sheets to the wind when I got that on there. And they say, I wish I didn't have that. Let me tell you, there's all sorts of Christians that have done stupid things in their lives. And now those things have been branded into their memories. And they would say, I wish I would have never let that happen in my life. But that's what David was going through. After sin is committed, I don't know how to put it to you. There are little flashbacks, and they're not good for you. They're not good for you. Now, indeed, we can learn from sin with our memory, but boy, memories can haunt you. I think David's now come to his spiritual senses. David was a very powerful, and he loved God very much when he was right with God. And he got out of God's will, and now he's trying to get back in. And I think David was tossing and turning at night because he had Uriah killed in battle to cover his sin with Bathsheba. And I think he was having nightmares. I think David was saying, what was I thinking? How did I let my life get so far out of hand? How did I allow that to happen to me? And now I'm dealing with it, and I'm past it, and I ask God to forgive me at it. I want it in my past. But I woke up again tonight with cold sweats over the fact that I hurt an innocent man because of my carnal passions. I think that's what David was saying. He said, this keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. I hate this God. But not only that, we find out that we have... Actually, when David did wrong, he realized it was against God. It was a personal offense. Listen to what he says in verse number 4. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. He says, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest? Let me show you the personal pronouns that are listed here. David said, God, the offense is from me toward you. And in that one verse, speaking in reference to God, he says, thee, thee, thy, thou, thou. Five times David said, I've done wrong, and it's personal. I personally hurt you, God. Folks, I got to tell you something. You may hurt me when you do wrong, and I may hurt you when I do wrong, but we all ought to come to the bottom line and realize something. When the Christian does wrong, you have hurt your God. You say, well, it's my life. No, it's not your life. Your life was bought with a price by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And when you got saved, somebody paid for your salvation. You say, well, I want to do what I want to do. You're supposed to do what God wants you to do. Well, my name is my name. No, your name is Christian, and you're to behave like one. And David was just saying, I messed up, God. It's personal. Folks, when we do wrong, we ultimately hurt God. We hurt God. Let me go on. The fifth thing I see here is that David says, I've been robbed. I robbed myself. I've been robbed because of my behavior. Robbed of what? Listen, Psalm 51, verse 6, it says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David is saying, my behavior has caused me to be shortchanged when it comes to truth and shortchanged when it comes to wisdom. Folks, let me explain something to you. Sin damages your receiver. You and I, we're to receive wisdom. We're to receive truth. We're to receive instruction. Sin damages the receiver. My car has its antenna in the windshield. You ever seen that little line in your windshield? There's an antenna there. I was going out to the Andrews one night to visit, and this great big turkey, I'm talking about a turkey the size of a horse. Preaching exaggeration there, but it's huge. It's a big turkey, wasn't it, hon? It's a huge turkey. This turkey came up out of the ditch, come up, hit my windshield, and just shattered my windshield. Huge turkey. And when that happened, that antenna that was in the windshield was damaged. Reception was hurt. Let me explain. Your sin damages your antenna, and you receive less truth and wisdom because sin damages us. Sin waters down our wisdom. When we sin, it somehow limits our spiritual hearing. It somehow limits our insight. Sin hinders our reception. Sin hinders the way we see things and the way we handle things. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're living in sin, if you're not careful, you will complicate your life because you're not getting the truth you need. You're not getting the wisdom you need. You've damaged your receiver, so you get in deeper and deeper and deeper. Hey, let me show you how. David, his men are at battle, and he comes home, and he goes to the rooftop, and he sees a woman naked next door. You know what he should have done? He should have covered his eyes and ran. But one bad decision led to another, which led to adultery, which led to lies, which led to murder, which led to chaos. What happened? What was he doing? Well, he knew there were a lot of good decisions he knew how to make, but sin had muddied the water, and he wasn't thinking right. Like right now, there's somebody in here. You're in a royal mess right now in your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to make it worse. And you're thinking about this afternoon at 2 o'clock when God's trying to get your attention with this sermon. You're more interested in what's going on your telephone right now than you are church. Why would you be thinking that way when God's trying to reach down and salvage your sin-sick soul from a mess that you've got yourself into, get you back on track? Hey, God wants to take you from being a David that's backslidden in a total mess, guilty of murder and chaos and lying and adultery, and get you back to being a David that was a giant slayer, that played the harp, the David that slew a lion, that slew a bear. But you won't get it. You'll miss it completely. Why? Sin damages our receiver. You're thinking this is good for someone else. You're thinking, this isn't for me. No, it's for us. Let me go on. I found out that this misbehavior of David's, it stole his joy. Psalm 51:8, it says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David had lost his joy. Now he's coming back to God after this whole mess. He said, God, I need to get my joy back. He said in Psalm 51:12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Notice the joy. Folks, sin steals our pure laughter. Sin makes us sad. Sin brings depression. Sin keeps us from experiencing joy and delight. Sin throws cold water on life's purest fulfillments. We stop enjoying church. We stop enjoying other good Christians. We stop enjoying our service to God. Watch out now. You'll stop enjoying Sunday school and stop enjoying your bus route and stop enjoying good Christian music. You stop enjoying your work in the nursery. Hey, we stop enjoying the preaching. We stop enjoying the altar call. We stop enjoying Wednesday night church and Sunday night church. We don't even go to church anymore. We don't enjoy it anymore. What happened? Well, what happened to David is he sinned. And he didn't get it straightened out. He said, and there went my joy. There went my joy. Here in Psalm 51, David makes it pretty clear what sin did to him. He said, I was guilty of breaking God's law. It made me feel dirty. I couldn't get it out of my memory. I realized I was offensive toward God. It was robbing my receiver of truth and wisdom. It stole my joy. Get this. Sin made David feel very lonely. Matter of fact, lonely and rejected. Listen to what he says. Again, Psalm 51, verse number 9. He says this. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. You know what? David is saying, I kind of don't want to see your face on this thing. I don't want to come face to face with you, God. You know what I have been. But let me tell you something. What happens to us is when we sin, we end up damaging our spiritual friendships and relationships. And sin hinders a direct face-to-face communication with God. When you do wrong, you tend to want to stay away from people that remind you of right. So you avoid church. You avoid so many things. If the person that I'm about to refer to is not in this building at this time. But we had a church member that had gotten themselves contrary with the Lord. And I don't go to Walmart any more than what I have to, but Mrs. Owens, I think, owns stock in the place, and so she drags me to Walmart. But I remember one day a few months ago, I'd walked into Walmart, and there was one of our church members, and they were backslidden. They don't know that I saw them, but I knew they saw me. And the minute they caught glance on me, I watched them turn the corner. I thought they're going to avoid me, and I understand. You all know what I mean. I can't believe it, though. Brother Tyler, I thought, I wonder where they're at. And this is what I saw. I glanced down an aisle, and I saw this. They were sticking their head out just far enough. And with my peripheral vision, I could see. And I would... I have fun. You have to understand something. So I decided to walk that way and see what would happen. A little later on, from another end of another end cap, I seen a... You know what happens? Sin makes us... There's a separating. There's a distancing that takes place. Before long, those that you loved, you don't want to really be around them anymore. And what happens? And David said it. He said, "Boy, I don't like that. I don't want that." But not only that, he says in Psalm 51:10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew within me a right spirit." His spirit was wrong. He had a bad spirit. Sin wounds your spirit. In this case, the word spirit here, that's not a capital S. It's a small s. It's talking about your attitude. Sin will cripple your spiritual attitude. Sin will cripple your attitude. Sin gives you a bad attitude. Parents, let me tell you, when you start having a problem with a spiritual child and they start to develop a bad attitude, they're probably listening to the wrong music and have the wrong friends. And now they have damaged their attitude with sin. Sin poisons our spirit. Sin turned David into a monster. That's what it did. It took a man that was out to kill the enemy, Goliath. It took David from an enemy killer to a friend killer. Isn't that what happened? He slew David. He slew Goliath in his youth. Now he's killing Uriah, a loyal captain. What happened, David? What happened between Goliath and Uriah? Sin. Sin. Watch out. Sin will cause you to be rude. Sin wounds you like a wounded dog. You snap at everybody. Have a bad spirit toward leaders. If you don't correct it, it'll turn you into an evil person where you're virtually out not just to kill Uriah, but you're out to destroy a group of people. That's what sin will do to you. I've got to hurry, but let me tell you, sin also made David feel as if there was a distance between him and God. It says in Psalm 51:11, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now, you say, did God turn his back on David? No, David turned his back on God. But David felt that distancing. People who go into sin, they begin to feel like the church cast them away. I promise you this. Well, you could be sitting in church and be right with God and right with everybody at the church. Go out and get yourself in a pickle. Go out and get yourself into sin. Then you start missing church, and before long you're saying, I don't feel comfortable there anymore. Well, you don't come. And before long, everybody there, they just don't talk to me. You don't come so we can talk to you. And then you walk in at the last minute and then run out because you're so ashamed of yourself. And then we're in trouble because we couldn't shake your hand and greet you and talk to you for 15 minutes. We couldn't. You're running. That's where I live. Sin makes you feel rejected by other Christians, but actually you're the one that put the distance in there. I'm going to tell you something. You might go to a lot of churches in the country, and maybe people do reject. This is not a church that rejects people that want to come back to God. We love people. We'll help people come back. But we can't drag people back to God. You got to at least put up your attempt. We still love you. We want you. But you are the one that tampered with your relationship securities, not us. But sin makes you feel that way. Hey, I go on. Sin weakens the Holy Spirit's influence in your life. Listen to this, Psalm 51:11. He says, "Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now, I made it very clear last Sunday night. He didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the Holy Spirit's power in his life. We are to be a conduit of God's power, and sin clogs the flow of it. The Spirit-filled preaching, boy, if it's not pointed and loud and virtually just baptized thoroughly in God's power, you can't even get some people's attention. They used to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit-filled music, that's lame to you now. You just can't wait to get in your car and listen to the other stuff. But coming to church where God's people are singing in God's Spirit and using God's Word in their music, that's lame now. You don't need that anymore. You're beyond that. What happened? Your sin now has affected the Spirit's influence in your life. You used to be able to walk away from a church service and say, boy, I'll tell you what, God was so thick in that service today. That was amazing. Now you're oblivious to it. I tell you, there were some people, I would say 95% of the people that came to yesterday's wedding would tell you this. I don't know any way to put it other than the Holy Ghost of God was all over this place. There's some, they didn't even notice it. It ain't mattered to them. Matter of fact, they thought that's a little bit lame. God's not lame. Man can't create what God did in this auditorium at this wedding. Hey, Rachel and Tyler's wedding was much the same. God was just all over the thing. That's the way it ought to be. It's not a drunken party. Oh, but what happens when we sin? We douse the fire of the Holy Spirit of God, and He who once spoke to us and reached into our hearts and squeezed our hearts, we no longer want Him to squeeze, and now that's lame and I don't need that anymore. You should feel conviction. Don't be cold. Don't be numb. Don't be angry. Hey, I'm almost finished. But David, this is what David went through. This is what David's doing in Psalm 51. Remember, David got himself into a mess and the preacher came by and stuck his bony finger in David's nose and said, "You're the one." And David came to his senses. He said, "I got to get this straightened out." This is the process that he's going through in Psalm 51. The Bible says that sin affected his discipling, if you will, his reaching out to others. Listen to what he says here in Psalm 51:13. "Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You know what he said? He said, "I got myself in such a mess, I'm no longer positively influencing anyone for heaven." He said, "I'm in such a mess, it's all about me and the mess that I've created in my life, and I'm living in sin, and I don't have the blessing of God, and I don't like church, and I don't like being around God's people. If God would help me get straightened out, maybe I could make this thing so it's not about me and what I want and my life, but I'll get back on track." So it's about sinners being saved and me helping others instead of others needing to have pity on me because I did wrong. That's what he said. Well, then, when he gets himself straightened out, "Well, I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." I got a couple of points and we're done. I know, we're all crying about the 3 extra points. Sin affected his singing. Listen to Psalm 51:14. He said, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." He said, "I messed up." He said, "My tongue, I want it to sing again." Remember, David was the one that would play the harp way back. He's the psalmist. The psalmist has hung his harp and he said, "I can't sing anymore and I don't enjoy the music anymore. I'm backslidden and my spirit is quenched." And folks, so you all understand from the perspective of the pastor, when you're standing here, there are times when you can read on the faces of God's people when the devil's got their tongue, they've fallen into sin because they used to sing and enjoy it. Now they stand and stare during the song service. You didn't know you were telling on yourself. What happened? You lost your song. You lost your song. And sin will affect your music every time. It'll affect your music every time. Sin affected his praising. It says, Psalm 51:15, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth praise again." He stopped praising God. David said, "I need help. I used to praise you. I used to praise God. I'd wake up on Monday and say, 'What a beautiful day.' I'd look at the food that I have and I'd praise God. I had food and I praised God. I had a job and I praised God. I was saved and I praised God. I was healthy. Now all you do is gripe. I don't like my job. I don't like my relationships. I don't like my car. I don't like my house. I don't like the amount of money I have." What happened to your attitude? Sin. Sin. Huh. Get this in Psalm 51:19, and this is the last point. It's about 45 minutes long, but it is the last point. No, I'm just kidding. All seriousness aside. It says in Psalm 51, verse number 19, "Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." David has gone through trying to get himself straightened out with God, and he's told us how all this sin affected him. And then he said this, he said, "I'll start using the altar again." When was the last time you came to the altar? Have you ever? Sin will keep you away. You say, "Well, if I came to the altar, someone might think I'm a sinner." Well, we wouldn't want that, would we? Somebody might think, "I've done wrong at some point in my life." Well, if you could show me the nail prints in your hands, we could relieve you of a responsibility in needing to kneel in the presence of God every once in a while. But until you show me that you're perfection and you're the incarnate Christ of heaven, you're going to need to kneel every once in a while and say, "God, I'm wrong and I've sinned and I want to get right with you."
this sermon couldn't get any simpler. It's entitled, What Sin Does to Us. It's a stolen outline. God put it in here for David. But oh my. You say, preacher, are you talking to me? I'm not talking to anybody. But if the Holy Spirit says today, thou art the one, then you best listen to him. That's how sin affects us. If you're not saved today, I wish you'd get born again. This sermon has been directed toward born again people. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today and make sure you're on your way to heaven. You come during this altar call. We'll take a Bible, show you how to go to heaven someday when you die. If you're a Christian and you need the altar for a moment, I wish you'd use it. Thou art the one, said Nathan. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. And once she begins to play, we're going to stand. And once we stand, if you need this altar, Christian, I wish you'd come. Has sin stolen from you? Has sin affected you? You heard how it affected David. I think it affects you and I the same way. Thou art the one. If the pianist will begin to play, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need this altar, you come. You come. Say, I lost my song. Well, was it sin? I feel dirty. Was it sin? Oh, it's affected my memory. Was it sin? Say, I'm not making good decisions. Has sin clogged your thinking? I'm not happy like I used to be. I don't have joy like I used to have. Has sin stolen your joy? You say, I don't feel like I fit in. I feel rejected and distanced from people. Has sin caused it? I see I've got an attitude problem. Has sin affected you? I don't feel close to God. Sin does that? See, I used to feel conviction. I used to feel the Holy Spirit speak to me. I don't feel that anymore. Maybe it's sin. I'm no longer winning people to Christ. I'm no longer affecting people for Jesus. Sin will do that. I don't sing like I used to. I don't praise like I used to. I see the negative, but not the positive. Sin will do that. I don't use the altar. I don't need it. If you could say, I don't use the altar, nor am I going to, and I don't need it, you need it worse than anybody. Because we all need the altar from time to time. If you're not saved and you need Jesus Christ as Savior, you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. I started this service and I said, folks, lest you stumbled in by mistake, I want you to know we're an old-time religion church. We still believe there's a right and wrong. We believe that God determines what's right, not us. And when we do wrong, it's not just wrongdoing. It is a transgression of a holy God's law. It's called sin. And we're guilty of it. There are consequences. Hey, unless you misunderstand it, this is nothing personal between me and you. I have no idea what's going on in your heart and mind. I just know what I'm supposed to preach. And I've done that today. If you're not saved, come. We have others that are being saved. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. This is the last time through the song. In a moment, we'll pray. We'll be on our way.